Will you just join me? Let's ask God's blessing upon the Word tonight. Father, take us now into the Word. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for this wonderful atmosphere that is here in this room tonight. For the camaraderie, for the love, the fellowship, the joy of knowing you and knowing others in the family of God. I pray tonight now, Lord Jesus, that you'll take us, Lord, and show us things from your Word that will help us and strengthen us. May Jesus Christ be more precious to us as the days go by, and may we gain a greater appreciation of you even tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I didn't know exactly what to title this tonight. I titled it Little Faith. But there's a whole lot of stuff that fits together. So let's just get into it. May not be exactly the way we always do it, but I've got some things I feel that are worth talking about tonight. Let's go ahead and look at Revelation 3, verse 7 through 10. There's one little phrase in there that I'm looking for. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And here's the phrase I'm looking for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. A little strength. Thou hast a little strength. It's an interesting little observation there that is made. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 9 here in a little bit, but in this particular chapter, there's a desperate father that has brought his son to Jesus. The boy's condition was absolutely hopeless. He was actually probably demon-possessed, throwing himself down, throwing himself into the fire, hurting himself in other ways. And this man is desperate for help, so he brings him to Jesus because he heard that Jesus could help. And he asked for the Son of God's help. So Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Am I the only one in this room that has ever read that and kind of silently chuckled? Or scratched your head? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You say, well, that's not possible. Apparently it is. I've been there. Probably we have all been there. Yeah, we believe God. Sure we do. But Lord, I'm a human being here. I know what we're dealing with. Wow. Did you ever have anything to come up in your life that you couldn't handle? You wanted to handle it so desperately, but you couldn't do one thing about it. It wasn't that you didn't believe in God anymore. But Lord, help my unbelief about this situation here. That's where this man was. We've all been there, I have a feeling. Let it be noted. Let it be noted that this statement of what appears to be weak faith did not prevent Jesus from healing and delivering that boy. Amen. I think we have been fed such a steady diet of name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, such a steady diet of hyper faith that we're gun shy. We are always looking for that perfect prayer, that perfect faith. And we get to where we're afraid to ask, because if we don't get what we ask for, then somebody in the church will look down the nose at us and say, well, if you just had the faith I had. You know, one of these days they're going to catch me in an unsanctified mode. And I'm going to say, go ahead, my brother, the floor is yours. If you got all this faith, get with it. I don't have it, but you can pray the prayer of faith, and I'd be glad to receive what God's going to do through you right now. Pray. Do you ever want to tell somebody that? What's keeping them from it? But we've been fed this and fed this and fed this until we think that we have to have certain degrees of faith. Oh, she's got faith, or he's got faith, but I don't have faith. Well, everybody's got faith. God gives to every man a measure of faith. That faith can grow. And then there's such a thing as a supernatural gift of faith that can come on people in an instant's time through the power of the Holy Spirit. Has absolutely nothing to do with your holiness or goodness or righteousness or anything else. God just decides to use it. If he used the donkey, he can use you. Donkey had faith enough to talk in tongues. Very often we're intimidated by those in the religion business who have made a science out of faith. They perfected the technique of applying that science. You know what? We've all got some room for personal improvement, have we not? Most of us, though, haven't mastered the science, have we? One thing for sure, what some of these guys are heralding as being the normal existence for the believer isn't remotely anything like what the majority of believers are experiencing. Exaggeration leaves the impression that once people become Christians, there are no more worries. Whoa, wouldn't that be wonderful? Inflated oratory and pretentious statements generate the idea that following Christ is one continuous picnic in the park. Follow Jesus and your marriage will be one continuous ecstasy. Follow Jesus and your physical health will thrive. Follow Jesus and your acne will disappear. Being a little ridiculous, aren't I? Not a whole lot worse than some I've heard. A lot of people tend to lead shelters of life. That seems to be the case. Rarely trouble visits their house. But we need to understand there's no way that a human being living in a troubled world in troublesome times can avoid real trouble. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're liable to get in trouble. The fact is, that's one of the surest ways I know of to get in trouble is to follow him real close. Amen. He'll take you out of your comfort zone in a hurry. Boy, it gets exciting then. Faith will get a real test, and your faith will be tested. It will be tested. Now, I said all of that to lead into what I really want to tell you tonight. I want to look at faith from a different angle. And this is not going to be by the tape today, raise the dead tomorrow. Okay? So we're all on the same page there. I think it's everyday, down-to-earth stuff that Jesus taught. It'll help all of us to be more comfortable in coming to our Heavenly Father with our needs. And we need to be, you see, we come to him because we love him and we trust him. And we can trust him only as far as we love him. He is faithful. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 through 30. Behold the fowls of the air, Jesus says. They sow not, neither do they reap. They're gathered into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, even Solomon in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I want to I want you to particularly remember that phrase, because we're going to look at it in four different passages here. O ye of little faith. We go down a couple of chapters, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 26. And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now the third scene, Matthew 14, verse 23 through 25. This is Peter walking on the water. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Verse 26 through 28, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29 through 31, and he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The fourth scene. This is the no bread scene. Matthew 16, verse 5 through 8. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. You know what? Let me just stop right. I would like to know who in the world it was that was supposed to take care of the bread. Has anybody ever just stopped to think about how humorous this is? They were always forgetting the bread. And there's 13 of them traipsing across the wilderness, and some dumbbell forgets to bring anything to eat. And McDonald's is not open. They forgot to take bread. Then Jesus said, I'm sorry, I went on a tirade, but it's humorous. I love the Bible because it's so full of funny stuff. Anybody ever find the Bible funny? Just humorous. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we've taken no bread. I tell you, when you forget to take the bread, it's hard to separate the spiritual from the physical. Jesus is trying to teach them a spiritual lesson, and they're going back to the no bread situation. When Jesus perceived what they were doing, what they were discussing among themselves, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Now, in this particular instance, the writer Matthew doesn't go ahead and say, yes, he provided bread. He doesn't say that, but it's just assumed that there was some bread somewhere, because Matthew wrote the story and he didn't starve to death. Does that make any sense? Okay. O ye of little faith. Jesus used that phrase often. Matthew records at least four times he used it, and there are probably many other times as well. But I noticed something early this morning about the use of this phrase in the events immediately following its use. I think it's interesting. I think it will bless. It blessed me. I hope it blesses you. Now, in reference to little faith in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the ovens, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The fact of their little faith it is implied that this did not prevent Jesus from clothing his followers. The text doesn't go ahead and say, yes, everybody's got clothes, everybody's... But it implies that. That's what this lesson's all about. God said, I'm going to take care of you. And how many... Has God ever taken care of you? He's faithful, is he? He takes care of us, doesn't he? They had little faith, and still yet Jesus honored what little faith they had. Now, in reference to the storm at sea, Matthew 8:26. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I want to just point something out here. There were 12 of those guys on that boat, at least. Might have been more than that. But there were at least 12 of them on there. And every one of them had weak faith, I guess. And that didn't keep Jesus from calming the storm, did it? Didn't keep Jesus from calming that storm. And then the reference to Peter's lapse of faith, Matthew 14:30-31. But when he, Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter's faith may have weakened, but Jesus didn't let him down and didn't let him drown. He saved him in spite of his weakened faith. About the reference to their forgetting to take bread, Matthew 16:7-8. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye brought no bread? Obviously, he did provide bread, because as I said earlier, Matthew wrote the story. So God provided. He always does. Now, why am I talking about this? Why am I going this way with it? Because I'm convinced tonight that there are people here in this room that you are questioning your level of faith. The devil has done a pretty good number on some of you in this room because you've been praying for stuff and it ain't happened yet. And he's saying you don't have any faith. If you had the faith, he's hounded you with that idea. And you're convinced that your level of faith is not what it ought to be. And you couldn't possibly get what you need from God because you fall into that little faith category. Others in the church, yeah, they may get it, but not me. Not me. And maybe what we're going to look at next will help us all. Something that I had never seen before. But I came across this, and it makes a lot of sense. And it's simply this, that when Jesus said, O ye of little faith, that all of the words in that phrase translated to one Greek word, which the Lord used like a name, as if to say, why are you so afraid, little faith? There's a tenderness in that. There's not a scolding in that. Oh, ye of little faith sounds like a scolding. Said, boy, you ought to know better. You ought to do better. But there's no scolding in that little faith. Why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid, little faith? It's not a harsh rebuke of exasperation. It's the gentle, loving chiding of one who knew already what he was going to do. Praise God. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we don't have a lot of power to change a lot of stuff in this universe. Not really. We've got a few things that we can do to make a few alterations here and a few alterations there. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is too big for you and I to affect it very much. Are you with me? There's just too much stuff out there. Too many people need this and that and the other, and there are probably close to 7 billion people on this planet right now, and it's just too much. I've knelt down to pray, and the needs start coming to my mind. I think, God, Lord, help me. I'm being overwhelmed by just the people I know that I need to pray for. I'm glad that he's God. We're not. Amen? So, his purpose in saying this could have been not to put them down, but to build them up. So he gently reveals the source of their fear by giving them a name, a nickname, if you please. Little Faith. Little Faith. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the disciple that most of us identify with because he was always speaking and then thinking about it, what he had just said. And if he really didn't know, he'd speak anyway, which tells me that he was a charter member of an Assembly of God church in Jerusalem. And he was always jumping in somewhere. Always. You could count on Simon Peter to be the spokesman. Whether he had anything to say or not, he would speak. And he vacillated an awful lot. He shifted here and there. And you couldn't depend on him for anything. You know. And I'll declare, if Jesus didn't give him the nickname Rocky. Is that amazing? Simon Peter, he called him the Rock. Well, that is absolutely amazing to me, to think that he would do Simon Peter that way, call him that. But you know what? I wonder what he calls you and I. I wonder what kind of a little nickname he might have for you and I sometimes. The Lord, however, delights in faith wherever it is found and in whatever measure it exists. Faith is the gift of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a gift from God. Great faith might say, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Little faith may say, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Both of those scriptures are from the Psalms. Both statements from the Word of God. And both of them, we've been both places probably. When we had faith, it was that amazed us. And then we didn't have any faith at all at other times. I believe that too many times we've placed the emphasis on how great our faith has to be. And maybe we should be placing emphasis on how great our God is. Our faith. We pastored in Tahlequah, and there was a period of time there that Oral Roberts' sister-in-law and her husband attended our church. They had a place down on Lake Tenkiller, and they would come down, and it was their home church. And these people, they were good people. She was especially a woman of God, and after they'd been coming for some time, she came up to me one day and she said, "Would you mind if I would check with Oral and see if he'd come down and preach sometime?" I was rather taken aback by that, and of course his schedule wouldn't permit it. But the next time she talked, she said, There's this fellow up there that he pastors a big Methodist church, First Methodist Church in Tulsa, and he's an ordained Methodist minister, and he's over the School of Ministry here at Oral Roberts University, Jimmy Buskirk. And would you like to have him sometime to come down and speak and minister? I said, it'd be great, it'd be fine. So she made the arrangement, and Busker came down. And I've never seen anything like it. He was not Pentecostal. If he'd been Pentecostal, you've got to shout if you're Pentecostal, okay? Now, is that the way it is? I mean, you know, that's just the way we've been raised. If you're not shouting, God's not in the house. But this guy just took his time, and he just more or less talked to us about some things, and when he got through, he said, we're going to pray for people. And he started just ministering to people. Never seen anything like that either. Quiet, real quietly just ministering. And our church secretary, Charles and Darlene Bynum, had a little girl that was born with an eye defect. She was just a little thing. Probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, something like that, as I recall, just a small child. But already by that time, her eyes had deteriorated so badly, her eyesight deteriorated so badly, that she was wearing glasses that were thick as the bottom of Coke bottles. It was unbelievable how thick those glasses were on her little face. And they brought her forward to pray for him to pray for her. And he just took his good old easy time and prayed. Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that that night she threw the glasses away and it was a flat-out miracle. It didn't happen that way. She was some improved. She could see just a little bit better that night. But the funny thing about it is, you know, several years later, they asked my wife and I to come down. They were having three services. They asked me to come down and preach three services on a Sunday. This is between churches. And I went down, and the early Sunday morning service, I was on the platform, and the pastor asked a young lady to come up and sing a special song. When she got up to come up to the platform, I looked at her and I thought, wow, she looks familiar. Who in the world is that? And after she sung and after the service was all over everything, and perfect, I mean, she didn't stumble or anything. She wasn't even wearing glasses, okay? After it's all over with, well, I got to inquiring who that is. And Charles said, well, that's my daughter. That's your daughter? God had healed her. Do you know God is able to do stuff like that? I'd like to be able to tell you that that was because of my great faith, but it wasn't. I don't know who had the faith. You know what? It's really not our business to take care of that end of the deal. You know what our business is? To pray. To ask God to do stuff and then just get out of the way and let him do stuff. And he's faithful. And you know, you don't, sometimes you don't get it the first time. Sometimes you pray and you seek God and you do everything you can, you believe. And oh my Lord, you've been there. I've been there. You love people so much. You want to see them healed instantly, miraculously. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But my point is, instead of placing emphasis on how great our faith has to be, maybe we need to shift back and start placing the emphasis on how great our God is, and just loving our God and worshiping our God. Man. Now, I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 3. This is a messianic prophecy. The old prophet Isaiah said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. I don't have this on the scripture list, but Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verifies that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He verified it. A bruised reed refers to a calamus plant with a hollow stem. These grew prolifically along the banks of the Jordan River. Once they were trampled under feet, they were absolutely of no use for anything. A bruised reed. No use for anything. Let me point something else out right here. God has his strong ones in the church. There are strong people in nearly every church you'll go to. There are people that love God, that serve God, that are faithful. You can count on them. They have prayer lives to back up their testimony. They're genuine men and women of God. And may we never get to the place where we don't have that type of individual in our churches. Can you say amen? God has his strongs. Metaphorically in the scriptures, they're often referred to as the oaks of Bashan or the cedars of Lebanon. Noble giants of the forest with root systems that spread out far and go deep can endure searing hot summers and blustery winters, survive it all, strong, healthy. God has his strong ones. And then there are the bruised reeds. The bruised reeds. Life has crushed people. They feel like they can never again stand tall, stand straight as they once did. The bruised reed. This is one of the most beautiful, compassionate statements Jesus ever made. He said, a bruised reed I will not crush. I won't crush it. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is not here to put you down? If your faith is little, and you hear something like, oh, you have little faith, the next time you hear it, please do a flip-flop in your brain and say, look, you know what? That's just God calling me by my pet name, little faith. Little faith. I tell you what, this ain't doing near for you what it did to me this morning about 6 o'clock out in my garage. Little faith. Folks, I've been there. I've been there. I remember walking out in the backyard of that church at Tahlequah when we were facing bankruptcy, right in the middle of a building program, 21% inflation, 21% interest we were paying. Unbelievable the pressure that was on this preacher. And I'd get up in the middle of the night and go out there, kind of at the edge of town, no neighbors real close, and I'd go out in the backyard. And I'd walk back and forth in that backyard sometimes in the dead of winter. It would be so cold, but I'd be walking back and forth through the backyard. And I could look up, and at that point in the construction, we had the steel beams up, but there wasn't anything on top of it. You could look through the steel beams, and often I would go out and look through those steel beams at the sky beyond it, and the moon would be shining through, and it looked like a skeleton. And the devil would say, you idiot, look what you've done now. Look at your faith. Where is your faith? May I tell you today that they not only have paid that building off, there's another thriving Assembly of God church in town full of people that I pastored. May I tell you that they both have family life centers in the backyard paid for, almost. Can I tell you that there are people being saved every weekend in that city because somebody had a dream and God overlooked this bruised reed called Larry Hatfield and said, I'm not going to crush you. I'm not going to badmouth you. Your little faith. Let me do it. Let me see what I can do with it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody just praise the Lord with me tonight? Can we praise him? I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the power of God. I thank you, Lord, that this is your work, not ours, not mine. It's yours. It's yours. And I want to thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My God can do anything. Anything. Yes, anything. My God can do anything. He made this earth in all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. My God can do anything. I tell you what way we're going to wind this service up tonight. I'm not anticipating that everyone's going to stand up and respond to this, but I believe maybe God has spoken to maybe one, two, three of you, whatever, in this service, and you just, because of God's Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, you got a need in your life tonight, and you just want prayer for it. I want you to come. And I want you to stand here, and we're going to pray with you tonight. We're going to believe God, that God's going to honor little faith. Going to honor it. Amen. Folks, some are coming already. Deacons, I want you to come tonight, please. Help us out. Let's see, I think Brother Tom is not here, and either one of the... Jack, can you come up and help us tonight, brother? Amen. Come and help me, please. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else like to come up? I'd welcome you to come and stand behind the minister. Brother Hal, come up. You minister, brethren. Come on up. Amen. Brother Marsh, God bless you, brother. Jack, come on around the front here and help us out. Take some of this oil. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do. You need to have Brother Marsh wants to have prayer for his body. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to anoint you with oil. There's no hocus pocus here. God's here. And you guys may have taken a pounding from the devil because it hadn't happened like you thought it was going to, okay? But God's calling you by your pet name tonight, Little Faith. The fact that you got up out of your seat and came up here says you've got faith. Amen. And he even went so far as to say, if you've got faith, it's a grain of a mustard seed. No telling what you could do with that. I mean, that's not real big. That's just pretty small. But you got more faith than that, Vicki. You got more faith than that. You got more faith than that. You have more faith than that. Hallelujah. And we're just going to lay hands on you. We're going to anoint you with oil. And we're going to lay hands on you. I'd like the congregation to stand, please. Some more. We need to come up here. And just stand in the behind, if you would. Stand, come and stand with these, if you'd like to do it. We're going to anoint them with oil and pray for them. We're going to believe God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord. You tell God why you came up here, okay? You tell God why you came up here and what you need when you came up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My Father God, my blessed Lord, my blessed Lord, my blessed Lord. Amen, my blessed Lord. My blessed Lord Jesus, my blessed Lord, there be you. My blessed Lord, my blessed Lord, my blessed Jesus, my blessed Jesus. My blessed Savior, my blessed Savior, my Lord in heaven, in the name of the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. And give God praise tonight. Let's thank Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we praise You for the visitation of heaven tonight. A word of God for what You're doing, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for being among us mightily, God. We love You, Lord. We bless You. We praise You. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. In Your precious name, Lord God. In Your precious name, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. I love You, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord.